It is easy to be lost in the concerns of our life. We can get ill in our hearts. So now I will tell you about my dream.
Webcasting to the world.
You remember the moment that you saw yourself and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution.
Welcome to the Gospel Revolution podcast for the 22nd of January 2015. We're coming to you from the GR Studios right here in Nashville, Tennessee, where we say, the Bible says you can't buy your way into heaven, but there is not a church in the country that won't encourage you to try. And here from not Houston, Texas, is the founder and president of the Gospel Revolution, Mr. Michael Williams. G'day, Mike.
I'm a not Houstonite.
What happened? They throw you out?
So I'm sitting here right now, Barris, in Palm Springs, California. And those that have known me over the years know that Palm Springs has always been my choice of getaway to getaways. And boy, it has not disappointed at all. My very dear friend here, Gigi, was having a cancer cell removed from her cheek. I was here with her when she had a cancer removed from her shoulder. I needed to come and take care of her. Now, Gigi didn't say that, but I did. And because Gigi lives in Palm Springs, you see. You get where I'm going with all this?
I think you're not leaving me too far in your dust.
Then I thought, well, if I go out then, I'm going to be in Palm Springs when it comes time to leave for Calgary, Alberta. So I at least better check on the flights and see. Now, my flight from Houston to Calgary over the last 3 years has averaged about $1,000. Because it's the oil run from the oil city in Calgary to the oil city in Houston. So I get on my United Airlines website and check for flights out of Palm Springs into Calgary, Alberta. $340. And it was like I heard God say, see, my son, it is my will that you goeth to Palm Springs, whereas it is warmer. And thy bones can be refreshed.
Even now this day, saith the Lord. Yeah, okay.
Can you even believe we make fun of stuff like that now? Oh, jeez.
Oh, man. Did you ever pretend to fall? There was this big name dude that came to our church. Dave Duell, his name was. He came from America.
Oh my gosh!
I was the music pastor, whatever you want to call, worship leader for a church about 600 at the time.
Dave and Bonnie.
You can't not get touched when the Holy Spirit touches you. So yeah, I remember times I'd just go down just to stop it all. Just to okay, move on to the next person.
I do remember going down. You know, you become so much a part of the deal. It's not that you are choosing to go down. You are choosing to not go down.
Yes. I had a buddy, though, that used to lock his knees and say, go on, come on.
I know, yeah.
You want some of me?
It's like, well, Holy Ghost isn't going to push you down, so... It's like, no, but that preacher there sure probably going to push you down.
Family, this week we were going to do part two of morality and spirituality, and I left you all hanging with don't ever get between a fat girl and her, and that's going to have to wait another week. I'm so sorry to tell you this, but I'm kind of having a bit of fun with that. But the reason why we're putting it off another week is because this week we have such a treat for you. I wish that I could have interviewed this fella for five times as long as I did, but I only got 40 minutes with him, and every one of those minutes was like being in heaven. It was just terrific. I'm talking about no other than our dear friend, Pep Washburn, author, lover, and storyteller. The man is just a pleasure to be around. Pep Washburn hails from... I messed this up when I interviewed him as well. I said he was from Canada, but I got to edit that out. But where was I? Wisconsin. My wife is yelling at me in the background to keep me on track. Pep comes from Wisconsin, and he is, I'll just let him tell you his own story. And I thought today, Mike, we would play this interview, and you might want to make a few comments as we go through. Are you game for this?
I'd love to.
Here we go. Gospel Revolution. Today I'm talking with Pep Washburn from Wisconsin, and Pep has just written a book, and I was just looking through the other day at some of the endorsements to the book, and I knew that I just had to speak with Pep about this book. G'day, Pep. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Barris. Thanks for having me. Quite an honor, actually. Been listening to the webcast many years. Even when Glenn was hosting it back, probably, 10 years ago or so? Long time ago.
Feels like 10 years ago, but it was only a few years back. It was only a couple of years back. He did a good job, too. Pep, how did you get involved in the Gospel Revolution?
All of my life, I've had this voice whispering inside of me that has said, some of this just doesn't make sense in traditional Christianity. And by the way, I was raised in a fundamentalist Christian home. No card playing, no reading the newspaper on Sunday, things of that nature.
What brand were they?
It was called the Independent Fundamentalist Churches of America.
I can see why you didn't say it before.
Anyway, that's what I was raised in, so that was my paradigm, my worldview. But inside was always this little voice speaking, there's some things that don't seem right here. Well, it took me 4.5 decades before I finally started seriously listening to that voice and investigating for myself. So as I looked up information on the internet and read books, I began to criticize or slough off the worldview that I had. Now, our good friend Jeff Robertson, he listened to that voice much earlier in his teens. But it took me, as I said, another 30 years before I began to listen. And so eventually I deprogrammed myself from traditional Christianity, if you will. That was around 1990. In the early 90s, the church that I was still attending charged the congregation not to go and listen to this heretical speaker who was speaking at a church about 30 miles away. Well, being of the rebellious demonic possession that I am, I thought, I got to go down and listen to this guy. Well, that was Mike Williams. And when I listened, bells started going off. My heart started to come alive. And he gave me, if you will, he gave me permission to continue thinking down this line of redemptionism.
You say he gave you permission to keep thinking. That's a really good way of putting it, because what he gave me was the language to explain the things that I couldn't explain, that cognitive dissonance, that thing inside me which said, that something's wrong here.
Yeah.
It sounds like that's what you're saying.
Yes, and also I think generally human beings need to hear, if they have thoughts in their mind that are, again, heretical to their world paradigm, however they've been raised, whether it's political or religious, they need to hear other people expressing those. Once they hear that those same thoughts are in the minds or going through the minds of other people, then that says to them, I think I'll keep thinking in this direction. I'm okay. I'm not out there on a limb all by myself, which can be very scary, especially in the fundamentalist religious realm, because if you're questioning the paradigm, the mental matrix that is supposed to be the key that gets you into God's graces, if you begin to question that, you are dangling yourself over the hellfire. So you better, as you can see why it can be a little bit scary.
Well, especially, see, when you've been raised in an organization like that, you are raised, even if it's not said outright, it's certainly inherent in the general belief pattern of the tribal mentality. There is no salvation outside of this, or there is no perfect salvation outside of this, or this is the church, this is the real New Testament church, and therefore anything else that happens that's unlike us is distancing itself from authenticity. And inherent in all of those things is us and them paradigm.
Oh, yeah.
And us are always better than them.
Yes. It's a creation of the classical psychological, the other. Yeah. Us versus the world. And that's one of the primary themes in my book is our oneness. You may notice in my emails, the way I sign out every email, one world. One family of man, one father of all. Yet traditional religious thinking divides the world.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. So what has the gospel of grace and peace done for you that you didn't find anywhere else, mate?
Freedom. As I look back now, every year I can see that my life was more and more restricted under that mentality. I was unable to venture out and explore new paradigms of thought. Actually question my beliefs. I could not do that. Right now I have a mentality that the world is open for me. Everything that's out there is open for me to explore. There's a biblical verse, I believe, that says that supposedly we'll stand before God someday and we want him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Well, my interpretation of that now, if I may paraphrase, is I think he's going to say this to every human being. Well done, good and faithful servant. I'm glad you went out there and you thought for yourself, even though you messed up a lot. You may not have had a lot of your mental matrix formed correctly, but at least you went out there and you sought out truth. I'm glad, good and faithful servant, that you went out there and experimented with life. Tried to live as much as you could, looked at all the different avenues that you could pursue, and you lived your life to the fullest. Now, previous to being freed by the full understanding of the gospel, how the gospel has been applied to all human beings on this planet, before I came to that understanding, I had to stay within the paradigm, within the box of fundamentalist Christianity. My life was restricted. Again, for fear of offending a judgmental God.
Now, when Hitler got to heaven, do you think God said, well done, thou good and faithful servant?
I think he said, I don't know, how could I put the words in God's mouth here? Although I suppose I just did. But, you know, Adolf, I think you did well done in this area. I think you did well done over there, too. But let's talk about this.
I like that. That's good.
Something else that the Bible says, that this is, I believe, out of the mouth of Jesus. He said, those have been who have been forgiven much will love much. And when we speak in radical terms, such as Adolf Hitler or Joseph Stalin, those that we judge as some of the most evil in the human race, I sometimes think they will be the greatest of lovers.
The greatest of lovers, Michael. Is that, that just got my attention.
As usual, Pep has a way with words. Thus he wrote a book. I tell you, over this, my friendship with Pep, you'll find nothing more consistent in your life if Pep Washburn is a part of it. He may very likely be the most consistent part of your life if he's in your life. Pep, when you said that, don't go hear Mike, how many stories do I have of this? Oh my gosh, from how many denominations that said, don't go hear Mike? How many times have I stood there after teaching for an hour and a couple or an individual come up and say, our pastor got up because an edict was sent out from our worldwide headquarters saying, don't go hear this man. So we just had to come and hear who it was we're not supposed to go hear. And now we know why they didn't want us to hear you.
Now we're free.
You know, once you get called a heretic enough, you'll go look up the word and see what it means. I was really shocked that heresy doesn't mean you're wrong. There is no implication in heresy that one is incorrect in what they're saying. A heresy is something that someone thinks or believes or says that is not the accepted norm. Are the biggest part of the masses, the largest group of the mass of population doesn't go along with this. That is a heretic. That is heresy. Now, I will guarantee you that the only people who've ever helped the human race move forward are heretics. Now, a heretic will move you forward even if what he says is wrong. We're not saying that being a heretic means you're right. You see, being a heretic doesn't mean you're right or wrong. It just means that you have a view that is not that the masses carry. So a heretic, even if he's wrong, will challenge you to think. Heresy is powerful. We love heresy in the Gospel of Revelation.
Well, heresy comes from a Greek root that means to choose. Now, it's wild, isn't it? When orthodoxy set itself up as being right, they just decided to call anyone else who even dared to wonder, let alone think or speak differently than them, they called them people who wanted to choose to believe something different. They choosed to believe something different. And then after that, I mean, a really messed up etymology of a word, if ever there was one. Orthodoxy, of course, has always followed the singular pattern of history, wherein only the victors write the history. But you reminded me also of something I saw this morning, Mike, that said, don't follow the masses, because when you follow the masses, you have to remember that sometimes the M is silent. Okay, I just thought that was really fantastic what Pep said about
definitely
about loving, about
yes,
when Hitler gets to heaven. My gosh.
And you know, he brought up a very important point as to what is attributed to Jesus as saying, he that is forgiven of much loves much. If our ability to love comes from the degree of forgiveness that we understand has been given to us, boy, that makes the gospel that much more important. I mean, we can go around saying, you know, I believe in love, I believe in love. Paris and I grew up in the love generation. Mm-mm. And we believed in love, daffodils and the park, and it was just love. And but the fact of it is, as it turned out, that love became something very superficial over the long haul of the love generation. And Pep's quote by Jesus it made an impact on me too, Barris, that being able to love much comes from the heart of someone who understands forgiveness much.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, if you erase forgiveness as a part of your understanding of life and relationship with God, you may be erasing the very thing that would cause us to have the very quality that we're pursuing.
Love it. Now, you have a book.
Yes, I do. Yeah. The title of the book is Touching Spirit, The Letters of Menominike.
Well, let me ask you two questions.
Yes.
How long has this book been in you? And second question is, how long have you been writing it?
It took me about 3 to 4 years to write the book. And I was writing before that. Most of my writing was of an analytical nature, and let's jump back to the mid to latter 90s. I wrote a apologetic work detailing my theological stance, and I gave that paper, it was a 40-page paper, to the church, to the pastor, to some of the elders. Within 3 days, I was called before a tribunal. Everything was friendly, and it was good, and I'm glad that they did, because I think it allowed them to think. In fact, the pastor at that time said, you know, I cannot answer the questions that you're raising in here.
Wow.
And that actually was a catalyst for him to go on and get a master's in theology. The book was in me even at that time. But as I said, at that time, I was writing from a analytical nature, approaching the mind. After a number of years of trying to convince people by approaching them mentally and trying to deconstruct their theological framework and replace that with a better framework, I thought it's easier to approach people in the heart, because I believe that everyone's heart is speaking to them. This is the teacher within, which I have as a character in the book. The teacher within is speaking to all of us of these universal truths, of our oneness, our lovedness by God. And so if I can open the heart for the reader of this book, then I believe that heart will speak to them and begin to challenge their mind.
Has your new approach in trying to deconstruct people's thinking, has that worked out the way you expected it would?
Yes. As the years have gone on, and I have not felt compelled to beat on someone's brain, to change their brain, but to simply appeal to their heart, more and more people have come back to me, and if not specifically said, I was the catalyst for their framework of change in their worldview or theological view, I can clearly pick it up that they're being led by the Spirit to understanding universal truths much more clearly. The heart will continue to speak to your brain no matter how much you want it to be quiet.
That really struck me, Mike. The heart will speak to your brain no matter how much you want it to be quiet.
Pep points out something very valuable. You know, we have a tendency to think that the goal is to make sure we're right. And making sure you are right is the surest way of winding up in something that is not even true to yourself. The goal should be making sure we think. Make sure you think. Don't make sure you're right, because if you come from a point of I'm right, therefore I'm going to think from there, then you are going to filter out everything that you hear. Now, just like Pep's encounter with the group that day, that was very powerful, actually, that they opened to him the opportunity to come. I mean, as he said, it was a tribunal. I've been before those two. Usually the position was already taken so much that they didn't really care what I had to say, their decisions. They didn't want to think. They didn't want to think about what I had to say. But why should we be afraid of what somebody else thinks? Why should we get angry and upset because of what somebody says that disagrees with us?
Well, that goes to an even deeper question, and that is, why would somebody else's different thoughts, am I threatened by that? Why does it so anger me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it comes down to, I think a lot of times we feel we own these thoughts. I tell you, one of the things, especially with the Gospel Revolution, and I've had to walk this out. I have been the person that Pep is talking about. He now is for others. I have been that person for many, many, many people.
I've never been. I would never debate. You know that.
You've been that person for many, many, many people, you scoundrel from Australia down under, boy. But I tell you what, when you've been the person that has caused other people to think, and then when those people that think don't agree with you, you have to watch out for feeling like you own what you're saying so much that you're offended that other people disagree with you.
Mm.
Now, there's just no room for that in the Gospel Revolution. We're not saying we wouldn't get offended. I'm not telling you that I'm beyond being offended. But I'm going to tell you that if I do get offended, I'm going to stop and ask myself, hey, dude, what's up? Because if I'm offended by what someone is saying, then that means I'm certainly not standing in freedom. Even the atheist who gets who is unwilling to carry on a relationship with somebody who believes in God or vice versa, all the way around. Being willing to think, boy, that really is what Pep is trying to tell us here, is that we have to follow our own heart. Now, your heart is not going to tell you the same thing it tells everybody else, what other people's hearts tell them. And I know I just hear people just shaking in their boots. Oh, my gosh. Now we're off to everybody's own doctrine is everybody's own thing. But you see, if all of us have the teacher living in us, the teacher's going to teach us based on who the teacher knows we are and who the teacher knows truth is. So it's going to intermingle with who we are, because if the great teacher that lives in Barris were to try to give me an example of something that Barris would understand, and he gave it to me, I'm liable to turn around and run into a brick wall because I don't understand that.
That is a great point.
The wonderful thing about the great teacher is that he not only knows the truth, he knows you.
The teacher within, he knows you. Oh, I love
that. He knows you. Oh, my God. You are known. And that's what Paul said is the greatest thing about salvation, is that not that we know God, but that we are known of God. So don't be surprised that the route taken is different. I'd be surprised if there's two routes that are the same.
Been gone to church since I was a boy. Now I'm old and I'm low on joy. I feel tired. Is there something I missed? Or is it just that I'm a Methodist? I got the Methodist blues.
These letters of Menominike, you've called them touching spirit. Why is that?
It's not physically possible, I don't think, you know, to reach out and touch spirit. But in our heart, if you will, where the spirit can. This is, again, what I want to touch with the words in this book. Reach into the heart, touch the spirit of the heart, enliven it so that we can hear it speak more instead of this constant din and screaming of our indoctrinated brain.
Pep, it seems to me that the things that we value most in this thing we call life, the things that we count most valuable are actually invisible. Things like, say, bravery, courage, loyalty, friendship, love, all these things seems to me to be things that we would put above even material wealth and anything else, and yet they're all invisible. Is that what you're saying about touching spirit? In Menominike and in me, we both have this thing about love. We both have this thing about protection of our children. We both have this thing about there is something out there that's greater than me, of which I may or may not be a part. Is that what you're describing?
Yes. What I've done is I've set up a paradox between the spiritual and the material. The main character, or the reader of the letters in the book, leaves the northern part of Canada and travels to the south. The north is an allegory for the spirit. The south is an allegory for the material.
Now you're starting to sound like Tolkien or C.S. Lewis.
Yes. Well, this book is all allegory. So anyway, this man, this reader of the letters, who goes back north, discovers this box of letters written to him many years before by his grandfather. Again, he's now in his mid-40s, midlife, discovers these letters, and it re-enlivens this inner voice, this heart that is always speaking to him about transcendent values, such as love, family, relationships. These are the only things that really, when we get to the end of our lives, will mean anything to us. All of the material wealth that we accrue, the victories we have over other people, either mentally or physically, all that will seem meaningless. But our relationships to each other, how we've approached life in kindness and love, that's what we'll carry with us, I think, beyond the veil.
This Menominike, how much of you is in him?
Well, my native name is Menominike Gazismakwa, which means rising moon bear. And it's referring to the time of the year, the season at the end of summer, when the bear has been feasting all summer long, laying up lots of fat, and he's getting ready for a great winter sleep. And he's satiated. He's full. He can take in no more. So this name was given to me by a friend of mine. And it's, to me, the name means this.
When you say it was given to you, you look pretty white to me.
I am white. Way back on my father's side, many generations ago, Unprovable is a Montagne man came in on my father's side of the family.
Hmm.
So the percentage, if you will, of native blood is unprovable. But this name was given to me recently, about 15, 20 years ago. So the name for me is prophetic and descriptive.
By that you mean it says something about you or speaks over you somehow?
Exactly. It was given to me in my midlife, which is similar to the story in the book. And it was this name is telling me, you filled yourself up. Feasted all this previous part of your life. There's nothing more than you that you can eat, that you can take in order to be ready for eternity, the great winter sleep, if you will. And it's time just to sit back and rest now. Well, this is what happens to us when we come in contact with God's universal love. We can then rest. We don't have to go out striving to fill ourselves with more and more and more knowledge in order to appease this judgmental God, to make him happy with us. He already is happy with us. We're completely and unconditionally accepted, filled up, not with the things that we have eaten, but filled up with his love and acceptance. So we're ready. We always have been ready for the great winter sleep.
That sounds like something I can believe in, Michael.
Mm-hmm. I tell you, I think Pep has helped me to understand myself a little bit here in the process of this. I've always told people what a slow learner I am, and I am, and I'm comfortable with that. A lot of people want to correct me and say, oh, no, because they're wanting to be kind to the slow learner. But slow learning is just a part of me. But now I know why. I'm a sleeping bear. I took in all I could, and now it is assimilating at a very slow pace. That's what hibernation is. Mm-hmm. It takes that the hibernating bear is filled with and uses it very, very slowly as it is needed, and not another bite's needed for the entire winter. So it is used up slowly. It is discovered slowly throughout the winter time. But I think I'm a hibernating bear, Bears.
That's what we'll call you from now on, hibernating bear.
The hibernating bear.
Oh, this is just magic. What I'm listening to with Pep is just like it's like drinking clean, clear spring water.
Exactly.
Oh, sweetens my soul no end.
And that's the feeling that you get with Pep, whether you're on the phone, whether you're sitting down with him, whether you're seeing him, interacting with you, or you see him interacting with someone else. It is so consistent. It really is like a fresh, cold spring after winter has broken. And just so consistent, so pure, and wonderful to partake of.
Gospel Revolution.
Mike, we're in the middle of a pledge drive. How are things going?
Every pledge drive we have has its own personality. It's really fun talking to Jeff about it. It is just amazing. It really is amazing. You'd think that there would be something consistent about these things. We do them four times a year. And goodness, there's nothing about any of them that are alike. And Jeff, why don't you give us an update?
All right. Thanks, Mike. This week, we're going to announce everybody who's given thus far. Let's start off with Dale Van Sickle in Lady Lake, Florida. Robert McCanty in Ottertail, Minnesota. Michael Price in Scarborough, Maine. Phyllis Schultz in Vernon, British Columbia. Pep Washburn from Marshfield, Wisconsin. That would be the very same Pep Washburn you're hearing from today. Tom and Linda Wilby in Fredericton, New Brunswick. Lee Dick in Kelowna, British Columbia. Cookie Davy Duck in Castor, Alberta. Dwayne and Ruth Daku in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. Brad and Holly Wilson in Queen Creek, Arizona. Deidre Simpson in Kelowna, British Columbia. Betty Cochran in Atoka, Oklahoma. Robert Hines in McDonough, Georgia. Robert Collier in Longview, Texas. Alan Davis in Tipley, Florida. Billy Thompson in Wetuka City, Arizona. Carrie and Rita Waitman in Whitehall, Montana. Arthur Wirtz in Brandon, Manitoba. Suzanne Johnson in Pittsburgh, Wisconsin. Pastor Ted Winslet in Decatur, Alabama. Jackie Barnard in Wetuka City, Arizona. Pastor Pat Winsett, also in Decatur, Alabama. That would be Pastor Ted's wife. Danny Ministranians in Studio City, California. Walter Wilson in Selma, Alabama. And Philomena O'Brien in Dublin, Ireland. That would be the names thus far.
Thank you, Jeff, and thank you guys for being so gracious to think of the Gospel Revolution. We do more with little than many other people do with much more. So much is happening. We're going to be bringing you many more reports from around the world as to what's going on as soon as we can catch up with people. Goodness, they're moving so fast, we have to have them slow down to talk to us. So thank you guys, and thank you for contributing. This is a very important pledge drive. We've lost a lot of monthly contributions, and we adjusted a budget to what we were having come in. So it's really tough right now. So we appreciate all of your help. Thank you guys so very much.
Did you put it in the paper? Did you write it down in stone? Did you send a short text message or fax it from your home? Did you put it in a billboard? Make a little sign? Email or do Facebook? Anyway is fine. Gotta get out the gospel.
I wanted to say a couple of things just right now, and that is we did this several weeks ago, and I would love to have gotten this to air earlier before Christmas so that he could have made use of it with the sales of his book. I plan to give him a buzz again soon just to catch up with the very latest, but as I understand it, it's hit the top 2%, or is it 1% in Amazon, and it's pretty well at the top in spirituality as well.
That's marvelous.
This man has written a book that people just want, they can't get enough of. Immediately following the interview, I ordered the book for ourselves from Amazon. Laura got her little mitts on it, and it grabs it like a child grabs candy and can't get enough of it. She'll stop in the middle and say, "Oh, that's what I was thinking. I just didn't have the words to say it."
Oh, isn't that marvelous?
It's precious, mate. Oh, it's precious. The other thing I wanted to say was I want to apologize for the quality. Some of my sound gear has been in the shop getting repaired, and Pep's connection wasn't as good as as we'd like it to have been, but I think we've got the heart and the spirit, and if we had nothing else, that's great. Here we are. Let's go back to Pep once again. What's the name of your website, Pep?
TheTeacherWithin.com.
Oh, that's simple. That's good. Okay. There now, and I'm reading reviews and endorsements. You have endorsements from Carlton Pearson, big name, Bishop Carlton Pearson, should I say? Ivan Rogers, I've seen Ivan around on Facebook quite a bit, the president of Good Report Ministries. You've got a bunch of really impressive endorsements here. Glenn Klein, Snowbird Woman. Now, these names that look like Native American names, are these Native Americans?
Yes. Winona LaDuke, for instance, she is Anishinaabe, lives in northern Minnesota. She's founder of Honor the Earth. She was the Green Party vice presidential candidate a number of years ago. Dan Hall.
Yes.
Sangade Makwa. He is an Anishinaabe ceremonial intercessor and drum chief. Dan is actually the man that gave me my native name years ago. Dennis Banks, many people have probably heard of him. His name is Namakameg, which means, I believe it means, the center of the universe. And he was a founder of the American Indian Movement, AIM, a leader in the takeover of at Wounded Knee and Island of Alcatraz. He's been in the movie Last of the Mohicans, etc.
These endorsements are outstanding, Pep. You're looking at a very diverse bunch of people here who've endorsed your book. And I'm guessing, and I can only see a couple of people there who've had any relationship with the Gospel Revolution. So you obviously appeal to a very wide audience and a very authentic audience, it seems.
Yes, I didn't want to write this book to any particular audience. I wanted it to appeal as broadly as possible. I don't want to leave the listeners with the impression that this is a book about Native American cosmology. It is not. In fact, in the note to the reader in the beginning of the book, I specifically outlined that. I chose the voice of an old Native American man because I think more people will cut him some space and give him time and listen to him instead of just turning off and saying, well, that's just ridiculous or that doesn't make sense. They'll sort of look at this old, old man and say, well, maybe he's getting a little senile, and we'll cut him some space and continue reading. And I think if I can draw people in at least a third of the way into this book, I'll have them for the whole book. And at that point, I'll begin to pry their hearts open, and the teacher within will begin to speak to them on his or her own. That's my intent. And what's interesting about it, though, is as I wrote the book, I know a lot about Native American cosmology, and so I tried to weave some of that in, but again, without making this a handbook of that. Yet, I got an endorsement from a man named Dave Quashane, Nigani Aki Anini, which means leading earth man. He is a First Nations spokesperson from Canada. He's received a national honors up there. And he writes this about it, which really surprised me, you know, about the book. He writes, "Revealing the spirit of the original free and independent peoples, this novel accurately reflects our connection to spirit and deep love of the earth. Using values that transcend the separation and division in today's world, this book inspires one to join the original peoples who lead in helping to unite humanity and bring us all closer to the land." That's Dave Quashane. Mm. That was a surprise to me that he would say that. I did not want to promote the book as a handbook on Native cosmology.
Where is the book available from, Pep, if somebody wants to buy it?
Book's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. It is available as a Kindle book at this time. It'll come out in other e-books in a few months. You can get it as a paperback as well at Amazon or Barnes & Noble, and it'll be available also as a hardback in a few weeks.
And people can get a signed copy if I'm reading your website right.
Yes, just send me an email off the website, theteacherwithin.com. You go to contact, connect to my email, and I'll ship you a book, and I'll sign it.
The book's name is Touching Spirit, The Letters of Menominikay. And you can find it I just found it on Amazon, just typing in Touching Spirit. And you can also find it on Google.
I have to type in Touching Spirit, The Letters of Menominikay. There is a book out also called Touching Spirit Bear of many, many years ago.
I see that. And you can find it on Google by simply typing in this, Touching Spirit and Washburn, Washburn, which is Pep's name, Pep Washburn. James Pep, what's the C for?
Carl.
Carl.
Carl, named after my grandfather.
In your office, in your car, or even your neighborhood bar, you can listen with your whole family.
Whenever I hear your name or I'm listening to a webcast, this image comes to mind. I see a fuzzy koala bear in a cowboy's hat wearing a holster on both sides of his hips with six shooter pistols in it. That's Beerus Bartlett in my mind's eye.
Not a kangaroo, a koala bear.
Boy, I tell you, you know, he He was very nice in describing you. Do you know that?
He was nicer than some people I know. Not you. Not No, not you.
Of course not.
I just remember you pay the salaries.
Oh, goodness. Already told you what you would get from Pep if he was your friend, and you just got it.
I love it. I love it. You know, we've got some excerpts to read to you in a moment, but I can't get enough of this, Michael.
Isn't that wonderful?
And wait till he starts reading his own work. You're going to feel a stillness creep over you, welling up from the inside. That's just very peaceful.
Marvelous. Now, and congratulations to my friend Pep on publishing his book. This is marvelous. And the gospel revolution rolls on.
You bet. So I asked him if he would share with us a little testimonial of where he's been, where he came from, and his experience with you, Mike. And he said this.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for continuing faithful with the calling that's on your life. And I want you to know that over the last 25 years that I've been acquainted with you, you've been a tremendous encouragement. And feeding on the wisdom that you have through the Gospel Revolution webcast and through the tapes has really allowed me to grow in this freedom in God, and to follow His Spirit in my life. Thanks again, Mike. And thanks, Beerus. Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate it.
That was sweet, mate.
Very sweet. But he didn't say I was a koala bear. I mean, Pep, I really appreciate it, but what am I? If Beerus is a koala bear with a gun, I need to know what I am.
Would you like me to tell you what you are?
No, I don't want to hear it from you.
Well, in that case, let's have a listen to a couple of excerpts. I've got three excerpts here, and you'll hear Pep say, look, you just decide what to put to air. Maybe this one was too long, and I'm just no way, Pep. No, it's all going to air because it's all too sweet to leave out. So let's start with these two excerpts out of his book.
Beerus, do you think it would be appropriate to maybe read an excerpt or two from the book, and then you could select whatever you want?
I love it. Yeah, go for it, friend.
Okay. As I had mentioned earlier, the book is filled with allegory, and here is a short little story about the writer of the letters, Menominike, about the light, which is the Spirit of God that resides in all people. So I write these letters in his vernacular. So they're a little bit as if he were talking.
Wonderful.
This is a story about a wood stove. As humans, we think we are not living with the light of life, the Creator's presence. We deceive ourselves or are taught to think that the Great Spirit is displeased with us. We judge ourselves unworthy of his light, and so we believe we are living in darkness. But this is a lie. All humans are born with the light of the Creator, and it can never be extinguished. Some nights, when you go to bed and you go to sleep, afterwards you wake up feeling cold, and you think the fire in the wood stove has gone out. You look inside, and it seems black and dark. But when you feed good fuel, like dry spruce or cedar, down into the dark coals, pretty soon the fire rises up. It is like this with us humans. The Creator's fire within us can never die. He is the great mystery and never ending. Can he die? Not in the slightest bit. He put his breath of life into us. This breath is his Spirit. It is one with the Creator. It is eternal. It is the light. He pitched his tent within us when he saw us in our human mothers, and he loves the campsite. He will never leave or forsake his camp, and his fire burns without end. Mishkala Makad, the gateway, all is covered with it. The love, the light of life, the fire of the Spirit is in all. Some, by the helping grace of the Creator, know this. Some do not. But whether they know it or not, it is not for us to judge. As to why, it may not be in their knowledge yet. In some, it is hidden in their stove, with the door shut, and it cannot be seen. It is not for me or you or anyone to judge them. The Creator knows. Someday, when the distractions of this life are over, when their stove door is opened and the ashes covering the fire are removed, then his light will blaze. This is the way it is with all of us. We all have parts of our spirit fire covered.
I've read a lot of things in my life, Pep, and I don't often feel, Pep, that was wonderful.
Can I read one more? You can select what you want then, Beerus.
Go for it, friend.
Okay. Maybe some of that was too long. I don't know. It's up to you.
No. That was so good.
Here's another short excerpt about a dream that the old grandfather Menominike had, and he writes it in this letter. I fell asleep with my head under my upside-down canoe. Because of this Bebagazigan, this dream, it is my understanding I am to write again a little more. When time comes to you to read and understand, maybe it is that you will need this extra teaching. Maybe the Spirit is telling me that you will spend much time in darkness and wonder if there really is light in the life of man, or if the light was only in your path when you were young. Many people lose heart wondering if joy and excitement of life was only for when they were not yet growing. It is easy to be lost in the concerns of our life. We can get ill in our hearts. So now I will tell you about my dream. I dreamt I was a little boy in my father and mother's cabin. She was sewing up a hole in my shirt right over where my heart would be. The hole was almost stitched up when she looked down at me, saying she was not going to finish it. She was going to leave a little opening so that light could always get in. After I put my shirt back on, I wonder about this in my dream. Then my mother was gone and I was alone. The window and the door of our cabin were letting in the sun, and I saw her thimble on the table. I lifted up the thimble, and it came to my mind in the dream that the darkness under the thimble did not go out into the room and make things darker. This made me feel good. Then I saw an overturned rice basket in the corner. I went to it and turned it over. The darkness was bigger under it than under the thimble. Still, the room did not get any darker when the blackness flowed out from under the rice basket. Over by the door was a big empty wooden barrel. I took off the cover, and still the room was filled with light, even though there was much darkness inside the barrel. It could not dim the sunlight in the room. I was amazed that the darkness could not overcome the light. Then in my dream, I pushed a chair over to the barrel, and I crawled up inside and pulled the cover over my head. It was very dark with no light, even after my eyes adjusted and got bigger. I was sad and afraid, and I tried to lift off the cover, but it was too heavy and stuck. I was in the barrel for a long time, and I was growing bigger, like I was aging. The darkness and breathing was oppressive. Finally, I think I could hear someone working on the barrel cover, and I faintly heard the voice of my father. He lifted the cover just a little, and a bright, tiny stream of light peeked in. It shines into the hole left in my shirt by my mother, and I am filled with happiness. After I was free from the barrel, it was very strange because the bright, tiny stream of light was now shining outward from the hole in my shirt and making the world brighter. This was my dream as I napped under the canoe. I am confident that it is for you to read and think about. Whenever our lives, wherever our lives have taken us, we can gain much through our experiences. We can shine back to others from the dark times in our lives and from the good times. When we are in hard and dark times, our Father knows He will not let the heavy cover be stuck closed forever. The light and the air will come to us. So listen to this dream. It is a teaching. Listen to your dreams. They may be a revealing thing. This is for each person to learn.
Once again, marvelous. I think that we're going to have a lot of gospel revolutionaries enjoying this. This speaks to the heart. This is trained territory for a gospel revolutionary. We've learned to listen to our heart, and boy, this book speaks to the heart. That is for sure. And again, Pep, thank you so much.
When Pep reads excerpts out of his book, I don't want to talk afterwards. I just want to take a huge deep breath.
Like Ferdinand the Bull.
Sorry?
Oh, you're the koala bear with a gun, not Ferdinand the Bull.
Oh, boy.
I demoted you, didn't I?
Is that who you are? Ferdinand the Bull?
Yes.
I can smelling
handle
a rose.
Yeah, sitting on the top of the hill. They're expecting a fight, but Ferdinand just wants to smell the flowers.
They want to pick a fight, and you won't give it to them. Well, I just think that if that's the way this show is going to go, I'm just going to play more of Pep.
when you're feeling down or you got the case of the blues, why don't you listen to the Gospel Revolution?
Pierce, may I say one more thing? I don't know if you want to incorporate it or not, but
yes, sir.
The nature of God to me is revealed as much in the creation as it is in the specific revelation or the scriptures. And the creation, of course, has been around far, far longer than the scriptures have. And there is no conflict between what the creation, speaking the nature of God to us, has. There's no conflict between that and scripture. Yet most of modern humanity, especially most of Western Christianity, has lost its ability to read the nature of God, is unconditional love in the creation. And that's one of the themes that runs through this book. And I'm hoping that it will help to open people's minds and hearts to seeing God's love reflected in his work, in the handiwork, through the general revelation, the creation.
The truth really is you can look around the world, you can listen to people who are being considered very wise from India, the Middle East, Native Americans, Chinese, to all manner of nations. You'll find wise people saying wise things. And more often than not, they use the creation around us to make just simple and yet incredibly deeply wise truths clear. Because I'm quite convinced that the universal spirit that created this, I firmly believe that the creator made it that way.
Yes.
Even Paul says in the Bible, in the book of Romans, he says the universal spirit can be seen by that which he created.
Yes. Can I just read you a prayer that the old guy writes?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Good morning, Lord of creation, my maker and my friend. A new day is set out before me. It's another day I have been gifted to live. I lift my face up to the sky above for the blessing to know that you, my Father Creator, are with me. And I bow my face down to the earth below for the blessing to know that my mother, the earth, cares for me. My unending friend, give me an open heart, having gratitude to receive whatever gifts you have for me today. I let go of my past and what has gone before, so that I can be open to reach to my future in this one more day that I have. Help me to find those things I am looking for, but also help me not to be closed up from discovering the things I do not expect. I wish to know and experience you, walking with me on today's new path. Help me to be mindful of your desire to touch the earth in all beings through me. Help me to understand your happiness with the earth, with me and with all people. This understanding helps me be more fully human. I know you as a friend that lays down everything for the one he loves. I am humbled by your love. I know that I do not have to be religious or do anything to prove my worth to you. But I also know that unless I set myself to desire you and to watch for you, I may miss spirit within me in this and every moment. Unless I look, I will not see. Unless I listen, I may not hear. I desire to feel you, so I will reach out for you. I come to you not to twist your arm, but to taste and smell your truth and to experience my oneness with you. You have given me friends and relations. My family has become larger than I know. And through the Western door, you have called many of my family to be with you. Someday, I too will see the door open for me. Assist me to honor those who have gone before and to consider those who are to come. And since I'm still here, I believe you have a purpose for me on this day, and I accept it. There is one who must be at the center of my being. This is you. Help me not to put things at the center, because my things are not the source of life. Help me not to put myself at the center, because I am not the source of life. At my center is you. You are like the river near my cabin, always fresh, flowing, and giving life. I wish to become a willing person, not a willful person. Source of life, I let you aim my feet on my journey today. I have not been given many answers to the paradoxes of life. I do not need to understand everything. I do not need to control life, but to be willing to share in the flow of life that is happening around me. Help me to bring comfort to those in pain, and use me to bring goodness to everyone. Guide my hands to build up the world of others. And thank you for the red sunrise peeking through the eastern window of my cabin. It is making the frost sparkle on the glass And this is nice. This is my prayer. I believe it is you who are praying within me. And so it is in you that I pray. I have set out a sema, tobacco, with this prayer, as you have directed the people of this land to do. It is our way. It is my way. Megwich, Great Spirit.
And once again, I feel like someone's been stroking my feathers all in the right direction. I just don't even want to talk.
I know. This is definitely a book you want to curl up with and be by yourself when you're going through it. And it's beautiful. My goodness. Thanks again, Pep.
Yes, I want to encourage every single GR, Gospel Revolutionary, that hears this. I want to encourage every single last one of you. Go out and buy this book.
Oh, buy several of them. Goodness, this is a wonderful gift to pass on.
It'd be a great gift to give away. A wonderful gift to give away. That's a great idea, mate. And so we will say goodbye to Pep. That is extraordinary, Pep. It's extraordinary. I love it. Absolutely love it. You've been listening to Pep Washburn, author, lover, and storyteller. And you've been listening to some exquisite storytelling right there. So can I recommend that you get this book? Go to this website, www.theteacherwithin.com. Get yours. Get it today. I love the way you express yourself, Pep. It's just wonderful.
Goodbye, Beerus. It was very nice to talk with you, and I hope that other people have been encouraged by this conversation.
I bet they will be, James. Not a problem. And with that, we're about to say goodbye as well. Pep, the only other thing I want to say to you is this. Don't let anyone else read your book. When you have an audio book, you do the reading. You are. There is something about your voice. It's mesmerizing. It's just trance-inducing. I love it, and it puts me totally at rest.
I keep getting saved over and over again here, and it's been glorious. I'm excited to be a part of all this.
Can I get an amen?
And so it is that we must leave you, family and friends. We love you each and every one. If you'd like to join the amazing people who keep this gospel of grace and peace going out every week, then call our office at area code 321-220-4373 and speak to Jeffrey. You want to leave a message for Mike or a question for him to answer? Dial area code 234-564-0971 and leave a voicemail. Our web address is www.gospelrevolution.com. And on Facebook at Friends of Mike Williams and the Gospel Revolution. Thanks to Marcel Roos in the Netherlands, all the gospel all the time is being broadcast 24/7 at myradiostream.com/gospelrevolution. So now it's good night from myself, Beerus Bartlett, from the GR Studios here in Nashville, Tennessee.
And it's good night from Michael Williams. I think that's who I am. Oh, after all of that wonderful reading, I am not even sure, and I really don't even care anymore. It just puts you at such peace.
Mm.
Thank you, Pep, first off. Thank you so much for granting us this interview with you. It was very gracious of you. And we again, want to encourage everyone to buy books, buy books, buy books. This will be a great help to not only yourself, but to many others, as we've already said. Beerus and I are going to be in the Great White North coming up just very quickly. So we'll be getting back to you with some really good news from Canada. Love you guys. Have a wonderful, wonderful week.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. But if you didn't, remember this. Just because you're offended does not mean you're right. So if you prefer learning how to think to being told what to think, then join us again next week, same time, same channel, where we're going to do the same thing all over again.
Better. Gospel Revolution.